News Talk 680 WPTF. We're going to get right to it. It's always a pleasure to have this gentleman on the program with us. And there's some big, 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 big bills being rammed down both the House and the Senate. And it's going to cost us a lot of money if these things actually become law. Senator Richard Burr is with us. And Senator, thank you for taking time. I know you're busy up there.
Bill, my apologies for stiffing you a little earlier, but I had an amendment on the health care bill. Opportunity was right, and I needed to get it up. And the two numbers that everybody needs to remember is 13 and 10.
And why is that, sir?
Because every amendment we have brought up for now 12 days, and we're maybe halfway through, has been defeated 13 to 10 along party lines, regardless of what the amendment dealt with, regardless of whether it was perfecting or striking or limiting. It's 13 to 10. I'm not sure where the bipartisanship is.
Well, you know, I was just going to ask you, the Senate today, according to Senator Schumer, is kind of backing away, taking their time on the health care. Now it doesn't look like it's going to pass before recess, I guess, is what they're talking about. But he says it's so we can get it right. Doesn't sound like they're looking at all the options, all the alternatives out there.
Bill, not only are they not looking at the alternatives, you know, as I just said, this is the 12th or 13th day I've been in markup in the Help Committee. They insisted that we were going to work through the weekend, that it had to be done this weekend. There's no give and take. There's no attempt to try to reach any bipartisan approach. It's theirs or nothing. And we will have a product that comes out of the Finance Committee, and then it's supposed to be merged with the Help Committee product. But this bill, by the time it gets merged, is going to be probably $1.8 to $2 trillion.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, we can't afford that. Even the president says we can't afford that. How are they going to pay for this?
Well, the incredible thing is that the president laid out the parameters for health care reform, and he said we have to drive down costs. The Congressional Budget Office came before us on Monday when we got the government plan, and they said this saves no money. Premiums won't be lower. There'll be nothing that drives down cost. They're the agency that certifies whether the policies, in fact, accomplish what we set out to. This is an attempt to really create a larger piece of the pie for the federal government, the same government that runs Medicare, Medicaid. We don't have prevention, wellness, and disease management, Medicare or Medicaid. I'm not sure how they think that they're going to institute it in a new government plan.
Can I ask you, what was your amendment today? In fact, what were some of the amendments that have been offered that have been defeated? What were you trying to accomplish?
We had a number of amendments that dealt with tort reform. Some that really went to the heart of it. Others that just tinkered around the edges. The amendment I had at 5 o'clock, and it extended on, and it's the reason I had to stiff you, was I had them vote up or down to eliminate, to strike from this bill, the government plan. Because a majority of Americans prefer the private insurance that they have. My fear is that with any government initiative, that all government has to do, it's like having the referee be a player. If they want to skew the way the game's going to be played, and then if a referee is also a player, the referee just calls the game differently. Government can arbitrarily go in and just set premium costs that private insurance can't compete with. And once they get that large pool of people in their plans, it's not too tough to believe that the federal government could make the claim that they just need to take it all over. I'm not sure that's what America wants. And more importantly, I think we've got to stay focused on exactly what this is going to cost taxpayers.
Well, and, you know, I had the Blue Cross representative on, and they said, quite frankly, there's no way we can compete with the government. And so if something the size of Blue Cross Blue Shield can't compete, that really says a lot about all of the private insurers out there. So you foresee a plan, it sounds like to me, if I'm hearing you right, where the private insurance option really will no longer be there at some point.
It will dry up on the vine and go away. And I believe that's what the intent is at the end of the day. But getting there, let's say that took 5 years or 10 years, Bill. Getting there will bankrupt the country from a standpoint of the cost of what they're putting in place. The expansion of Medicaid alone. The Help Committee doesn't have jurisdiction over Medicaid, so rather than include all the uninsured in this new plan, they've carved out, and our plan doesn't even cover people 100 to 150% of poverty. The most at risk in this country, low-income individuals that work but don't have health care, they're going to rely on the Finance Committee expanding Medicaid and eventually obligating states to pay a portion of that expansion of Medicaid. Well, Bill, you know in our state and in all 49 other ones, the last thing they need is another mandate from Washington about what they have to spend their state taxes on.
So if I'm hearing you right, this whatever we want to call it, government health care program, isn't going to cover the very people they say they need the government program for. In fact, they're just going to shove it off on a current program that is already running a huge deficit and pass those costs on to the state taxpayers.
20 million Americans at a cost of over $500 billion, of which the states will be obligated indefinitely for their share, and they will be put into a health care system by all standards does not address prevention, wellness, disease management, delivers primary care at the emergency room, restricts who they can see to 60% of the available doctors because 40% won't see Medicaid beneficiaries. So we limit the pool. We don't increase the pool of substandard possible care.
That's unbelievable. Now, it wasn't Medicaid. I believe it was Medicare that they worked some kind of a deal where the hospital said, all right, you can pay us less money. But that gets passed along to everyone else. And I got to believe that if they're getting less money, that would limit the options for folks who are on Medicare. Am I wrong?
No, I think you're right. And what they've orchestrated is a smoke and mirrors financing package for the new government option. And by suggesting that people have thrown money into the pot, whether it's hospitals or the pharmaceutical association, they then take that money out of the pot of Medicare and apply it to the new government option. Well, let me remind you and your listeners, the Medicare Commission just came out and said Medicare is insolvent in 2017. Now, most of this plan that's being considered in Congress now doesn't even become enacted until 2012. So when you look at 10-year budget projections, it's really a 7-year expense. They stretch it out to 10 to make it seem like less. So what we're trying to focus on right now are the out years, because once you get past 10 years, we believe that just the expansion of Medicaid alone is not a $500 billion expense. It's a $2 trillion expense.
Oh, my goodness. Senator, I know you're busy. Do you have time to stay for another
sure.
segment? Oh, that's terrific, because,
yeah.
You know, we're talking about the shortcomings here, but obviously I also want to pick the senator's brain about, you know, there are some real problems and they need to be addressed, and he has some thoughts on that as well. We're speaking with Senator Richard Burr. News Talk 680 WPTF. We're speaking with Senator Richard Burr. And Senator, the argument I hear, and I really believe it's a false argument, it's an all or nothing kind of an argument. When you hear the Democrats and their plan, well, the Republicans don't want to do anything. And, you know, and of course, that's not the case. I don't know of any Republican who says this is a great plan. Would you not agree there are problems with our health program?
Well, Bill, let me say this. I believe so strongly that you have to reform health care. It's 17% of our GDP in this country. It is unsustainable at its current level. And I'm probably the most credible person to stand up because Tom Coburn and I have introduced our own plan. So I'm not opposed to anything. I'm actually fighting to try to make sure we do the right thing. And I think it's absolutely essential that we come up with a reform package that provides the ability for everybody in the country to be covered, that invests in prevention, wellness, and disease management, because those are the drivers down in the cost of health care. And thirdly, it has to be sustainable. Why would we design a health care system now that wouldn't be viable 10 years from now?
Well, and certainly there are folks with pre-existing conditions. They can't get insurance, affordability of health care. All of it is there. At the same time, the ability to choose your doctor, your hospital, and the cutting-edge technology that keeps us all alive in this country, we're not necessarily so in the government programs, are all things that, and I'm sure you're hearing, and I'm hearing it, and it, for the 83-86% of the folks that have health care, they don't really want to see that messed up in that sense. So how does your plan, and I apologize, I only have a couple of minutes, address some of those issues?
Well, Bill, we address it because we've mirrored two things. Our experience with the Medicare Part D, the prescription drug plan that we instituted 5 years ago for seniors, where today the premium is 40% less than what we projected it was going to be, primarily because we use things like risk adjusters and we created new competition between insurers. And we've matched that with self-insured companies, companies like SAS and the Raleigh area and Dell Computer and Safeway, companies that actually have made cash investments in their workforce for individuals that had chronic disease. They paid them to go into programs to get the management that they needed. And in every case, they drove their health care costs down. Government will never make that investment in the American people. Private insurers will do it if they believe that they have an opportunity to cover that life for an extended period of time. Most crucial thing to accomplish that is portability of health care. Yeah, that means an employee can take it from employer to employer, but it also means at 24 years old, if I get covered by Blue Cross Blue Shield, they look at me as an opportunity to have as a covered life for 40 years. All of a sudden, their investment in me is going to change. Today, the average time that an individual is with an insurer is 4.5 years.
Hmm.
And if they think they've got you for 40 years, they're going to invest money in educating you. They're going to make sure that their level of service is superior, that they don't deny claims, that they don't question doctors because they want you under the umbrella of coverage. And it changes the whole outlook of the insurance model when we adopt that one thing.
You put the power back with the insurer. I mean, it's a capitalist system. And of course, the dollar does have some sway when it comes to, you know, attracting customers if you're Blue Cross Blue Shield or what have you. I mean, that is, I wish I had more time, and unfortunately I'm up against a break. But Senator, if you have time when you come back to North Carolina and you have the recess and we could get you in here for an hour just to really talk about this and have folks ask questions, this is so important. And I'm so fearful about the path we're on right now.
Bill, I'll make the time in August, and let me remind you that, and your listeners, if you drive innovation out of the United States, if you allow the doors of delivery to be closed, you will never attract innovation back. You will never open those doors because of the expense to reopen them.
Yeah. Senator Richard Burr, always a pleasure.
Thank you, Bill,
for your time, sir.
Take care.
We'll be right back.
Defending the American way, Bill LeMay, 680 WPTF.